My dear friend Luke, I want to thank you for taking the time to put together an account of the life of Jesus the Nazarene. I think you missed your calling. You should have been an historian, not a doctor. But then maybe not, as I have often benefited from your medical expertise as well. Your account was quite impressive. Though I live far from Judea and have never met this Jesus, through your story, I feel that I have known him all my life. Much of his life I have already heard about, his baptism, the healings performed, and some of his parables. But there was much in your account that was quite new to me. I never realized before how much Jesus ministered to the weak and the downtrodden. Throughout your account, he is, it seems, always speaking up on behalf of the poor, the outcast, the neglected. No wonder I feel so close to him. For instance, he spoke kindly toward women, was not afraid to touch lepers, and seemed genuinely concerned with people's needs. How different from the treatment that such people get from most of society. And I was surprised at the number of parables he told which portray the Samaritans in a good light. Perhaps I'm wrong, but I always thought that Jews and Samaritans didn't care for each other. And he seems really to sympathize with the poor. Of course, he was poor himself, but it never seemed to bother him. He seemed to think that poverty could be a blessing, and that riches could make it more difficult to know and believe in God. In a world where people would seem to do anything for a buck, his attitude is refreshing and makes me think more seriously about my own priorities. Another thing that struck me about your account is how real Jesus was, how sensitive and involved he was in the lives of others. Your account is so full of emotion, his and others. There is pain, but there is also joy. I'm not sure how much of this is because of Jesus and how much is your own emotion and humanity showing through. Ah, yes, Luke, you have changed. I remember times when you seemed to have no feelings at all. Perhaps it was because of the demands of your job. After all, you know the old saying, no matter how rich a doctor gets, he can never afford to let himself feel. And I can understand that. After all, when it comes right down to it, how much healing can any doctor provide? And yet how much misery he must witness. No matter how many patients a doctor has, sooner or later he loses them all. And what doctor, what person, can handle that much sadness and still allow himself to feel. And yet somehow, since you have come to know this Jesus through your travels with Mr. Paul of Tarsus, you have become so much more human yourself, letting yourself feel your patient's pain, listening more attentively to their complaints. I know this because I have experienced your new bedside manner myself and have marveled at the change in you. Having read about your newfound faith and having met your new Lord and Savior, I finally begin to understand where the change in you has come from. He truly must have been an incredible man. And though I know you never met him, he shines through very clearly in your account. In fact, that's one thing that really struck me about your gospel. I, like you, have never met Jesus. And yet he is so real, so present in your gospel. I feel like he is standing in front, no, not standing, seated next to me, talking to me, treating me as if I were the most important person in his world at that moment. And what I see most powerfully when I look at Jesus through your words is his eyes. I have heard other accounts of this Jesus, but in yours I was most struck by his eyes, the way he looked at people. It made me wonder what he saw. Do you remember all the times in your account when you said Jesus looked at people? First, the crowd of people who watched him heal the man with the shriveled hand. Then there was the rich young man who had to decide between his love of money and his love for God. Then there was Zacchaeus. What a comic picture that was. This little man climbing up into a sycamore tree, perched in a tree like a squirrel. But Jesus didn't ridicule him. He looked at him. And he loved him. And he treated him with more respect than Zacchaeus had probably ever encountered before. Then he looked at the Pharisees and at the widow offering her mites in the treasury. But the most powerful glance of all was when he looked at Peter, the moment when Peter had denied him. Would you believe I actually cried for Peter? And then I cried for myself as I felt those eyes looking at me, penetrating me, seeing through my bravado, my pride, my religiosity, and seeing me for the real person that I am. At that moment, I knew with all my heart that I was worthy of less love than Peter, the denying disciple. And yet I felt those eyes were full not of condemnation and hatred and accusation, but of pity and sadness and love. And though I had often heard the story of his crucifixion, I never truly encountered the crucified Christ until I followed those eyes to the cross how he could ask God to forgive while being nailed to a cross. Well, let me just say that I think, thanks to your account, that I finally begin to understand why he died and what it can mean for me. Though I must say I was so overwhelmed by the account of his death that I almost quit reading. It was too painful. I was so sad and devastated when he gave up his spirit. I could barely stand to read on. But having felt so deeply the pain and loss of his death, words cannot express the joy I felt as I walked with the women to the empty tomb and shared a meal in Emmaus with the risen Lord. I have heard of this resurrection before, but it always seemed like an idle dream. Through reading your gospel, like Clopas, my eyes were closed to the reality and power of Jesus until he was made known in the breaking of the bread. Truly, it is only as we let Jesus into our inner heart and begin to truly fellowship with him that we can know who he really is, and indeed, that we can begin to really know ourselves. So now what can I say? Your story has inspired me to want to treat others as Jesus did, loving them for who they are, not just using them for what I can get from them. But your story has done more than inspire me. It has introduced me to a man who is unlike any man I have ever known. I feel that here is a man who can show me who I am and then take this useless, selfish lump of clay and transform it by his very presence within me into a loving and caring individual. Yes, dear Luke, I have surrendered myself to the stranger from Galilee, whose eyes are so penetrating and whose love is so deep. He is now my Lord, my Savior, and I can tell that he is already working in me to change me into his likeness. I finally understand what you mean when you say that Jesus is a physician of the heart. He has touched my heart and begun a process of healing that I know will continue until I am fully united with him in eternity. Well, my beloved physician Luke, I must close. There is so much more for me to learn about this Jesus, and through Jesus about myself. Perhaps someday you will find the time to write to me an account of your travels with Paul and of this church that I am now a part of. For now I will only say, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for this story of Jesus of Nazareth. It has truly changed my life. He has changed my life. And though I may be the first to believe in Jesus as a result of your gospel, I'm sure I will not be the last, as I intend to tell everyone I meet about this wonderful Savior. And I am even now making copies of this gospel to give to several of my friends. After all, once you get to know a man like Jesus, how can you keep it to yourself? Until we meet again, sincerely, your friend, and now your brother in the Lord, Theophilus. Oh boy, boy, I have a message for you to deliver.